Before you open your Bibles, I have something or two that I want to read to you. Today's the 5th of July. Of course, yesterday was the 4th of July. And normally we celebrate Independence Day there. Our nation's changing on us. And we're told these days that this nation was founded on freedom from religion, or that we're supposed to not be a Christian nation, but a secular nation, and so forth and so on. And we're told these things so much, people start believing them. I've got a book of quotes from our founding fathers, and I want to read to you a couple of things that came through the Continental Congress. Now, in case you don't remember from history, we're talking about during the time of the Revolution, before there was a United States at all. There was the Continental Congress that met, just the colonists that came together. And I want to read a couple of things that they passed through. Understand, this is the lawmakers that passed this through. This was on March the 20th, 1779. The Revolutionary War was still going and still being fought, and the outcome wasn't certain. And Continental Congress passed a proclamation of a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer. Can you imagine that getting through our Congress right now? And it read as follows: notwithstanding the chastisements received and benefits bestowed, too few of us have been sufficiently awakened to a sense of their guilt or warm with gratitude, or taught to amend their lives and turn from their sins so that He might turn from His wrath. This came from Congress. Resolved that it be recommended to the several states to appoint a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer to Almighty God, that He'll be pleased to avert these impending calamities which we have too well deserved, that He will grant us His grace to repent of our sins and amend our lives according to His holy word, and that He will continue that wonderful protection that He has led us through the paths of danger and distress, and that He'll be a husband to the widow and a father to the fatherless children, that He will grant us patience in suffering and fortitude in adversity, that He will inspire us with humility and moderation and gratitude in prosperous circumstances, and that He will diffuse useful knowledge, extend the influence of true religion, and give us that peace of mind which the world cannot give, that He will be our shield in the day of battle, our comforter in the hour of death, and our kind parent and merciful judge throughout time and through eternity. Continental Congress, proclamation of a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer, March 20, 1779. How about that coming through you, Congress? That's what we were founded on. I'll read one more to you. At all times, it is our duty to acknowledge the overruling providence of the great governor of the universe and devoutly to implore His divine favor and protection, that we may, with united hearts, confess and bewail our manifold sins and transgressions, and by sincere repentance and amendment of life, appease His righteous displeasure, and through the merits of our blessed Savior, obtain pardon and forgiveness, that it may please Him to inspire all our citizens with a fervent and unselfish love of their country, and to preserve and strengthen their union, that the blessings of peace and liberty may be established on an honorable and permanent basis, and transmitted inviolate to the latest posterity, that it may please Him to bless us with health and plenty, that it may please Him to bless all schools and seminaries of learning, and to grant that truth, justice, and benevolence, and pure and undefiled religion may universally prevail. Continental Congress, proclamation of a day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer, March the 20th, 1781. And there are many, many others. This continued after the Revolutionary War. There are proclamations in here of days of thanksgiving. Sometimes days of fasting were called out for no particular reason other than the fact that the leaders just thought that the nation was getting too irreligious. This is what we were founded on. Regardless of what is taught now that we were founded on, when you look at the quotes of the people who founded the country, and you look at the proclamations that came through the Congress in these days, this nation was founded upon God and upon God's mercy. I believe that is why we're still to this day able to assemble together openly. I have no illusions about where the nation is headed, and I've told you that. I don't have a lot of hope for this nation lasting too many more generations. If it ended quickly, it wouldn't be that much of a shock. It's certainly due for judgment. But I know where it was founded. And I believe it's still worth trying to strive for those ideals on which this nation was founded, because they were scriptural ideals. I believe it's still worth teaching your children and your grandchildren those truths that the nation was founded on. Now, that's not my sermon, but the occasion yesterday being Independence Day, I thought it appropriate to bring that out to you, to let you see where we came from. We were indeed founded on the Word of God. Well, at this time, I want to turn to a different promise. I want to turn to the book of Genesis. If you have your Bibles with you, I hope you do. We'll turn to the book of Genesis in chapter 9. Genesis in chapter 9. Give you a moment to get there. I want to read several verses here, verses 8 through 17. As you find your place, if you're able and if you're willing, I would ask you to stand for the reading of the Word. If you're not able, we understand, and I believe the Lord does. But if you're able, we'll begin reading here in verse 8 and read to verse 17. The Bible here reads, "And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, and all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." And Lord, this morning, we thank you again that you've allowed us to meet, and ask you now to bless the preaching of your word. I ask you to help me, Lord, to deliver these things that have been laid on my heart. Help us all, Lord, that as we hear your word, that it would take root in our heart, that it would get purchased, Lord, and grow. Help us, Lord, that we would grow toward you in all things. We ask you this, Lord, in your name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach this morning about the rainbow. We see a lot of the rainbow anymore, but I don't think there's good. As a matter of fact, I know there's not understanding in this nation about what the rainbow means, about this promise that's given. There are those who will fly a flag with a rainbow on it, and they do so ignorantly, not knowing what it means. I'm not trying to belittle anybody. I'm just telling you they're ignorant. They don't know what it means. There's pictures that have been going around of, I guess, the rainbow colors spread across the White House. And that means something, but it doesn't mean what the people that put the lights up think it means. It means something completely different. And so I wanted to preach this morning about this rainbow, because it's God's rainbow. God said Himself, He said that I will put my bow. He said, I do set my bow in the cloud. It's His rainbow. And it means something. And it means a few things. It's mentioned in the Bible in three places. It's mentioned, actually four places. Mentioned here, it's mentioned twice in the book of Revelation and once in the book of Ezekiel that I found. Now the first thing that we're going to see about the rainbow is that it is a promising sign. It was given for a sign. God doesn't give signs for everything, but occasionally He gives a sign. And He gave it for a promise. It's a promising sign. The first thing is, remember, this is when Noah and his family came right off the ark. They'd been cooped up in the ark for many, many days. After the flood, it came and destroyed everything on earth. And what was fresh in their mind was death and destruction they had seen. And even now, you know, they could see witness of it. Because coming off that ark, you know, after that flood, that the evidence of the flood was everywhere. And the land was washed this way and that way. And the trees themselves, it had been maybe a year, they would be up uprooted and overturned, and the sands poured over everything. I don't know if you could see any remains of cities or if they were all under the sands. I don't know. But I know that the place had to look a mess. And here we have a promise from God, and it's a promise of life. And I tell you that our God is a God of life, and the things of God pertain unto life. What our God desires for His children is life. What He promises to you is life. And what He promised to Noah here was life. We don't serve a God of death. Oh, He died for us. But He died for us that He might give us everlasting life. Everything that God demands and commands, He does for your own benefit. Everything He desires for you to do is for life. When He commands us to pray to Him, it's for life. That we might turn our faces to Him. You've seen how a sunflower always turns and faces the sun. If you haven't seen it, that's what it does. Throughout the day, the sunflower's face will turn to constantly face the sun. What's it doing? It's soaking in the light. And that's what happens when we pray to our God. We empty our soul before Him. And we listen to Him. Because prayer is not just a one-way communication. It's two ways. We're trying to listen to Him and empty our soul to Him. Why? So that we might have life. Our God wants life for us. He doesn't want you to live a life that's defeated and dead, but rather a life that's full of joy and peace and happiness. He desires life for His children. Everything He commands to life. Everything that's not of God pertains to death. All the foul vices that are out there pertain to death and destruction. Right down the road, right now, at this very moment, there are people sitting around the card tables, sitting around the dice tables, sitting and wasting the money that they had to work hard for. Some of them are gambling away the very food off their tables, gambling away the futures of their children, gambling away the money that they need to pay their bills. All of that pertains to death. The things of this world pertain to death and destruction, but the things of God pertain to life. Everything that He desires for you, He desires so that you might have life, and life more abundantly. The rainbow is a promising sign. It's a sign of life. If we'll look in verses 10 and 11, He said, "And every living creature that is with you, the fowl and the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth." This life is meant for everything and for everybody. And the promise of life is available to everybody. The grace of God and the salvation hath appeared unto all men. For it's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's God's grand will and desire for all to have life who will only choose Him. Everything of God pertains to life. It's a promise of life. And it's more than just a promise of a temporary life. For God did not promise with this rainbow that, "Noah, I'm going to give you life until you don't deserve it." Because had that happened, you know the next chapter, Noah got drunk. And you see the sins of his sons. And there would have been another flood on the earth right then, if not before. But that wasn't the promise. The promise wasn't only of life right now. But because He promised life that was going to continue, there's a promise that's not stated in there. There's a promise of mercy. Because there's no way life could continue if it was based on us. As a matter of fact, my salvation couldn't continue if it was based on me. Because I don't know about you. Actually, I do know about you. I've told you before, you know better than me, and I know me. I've sinned since I got saved. And if it was based on me, it would have been all over right then. But the promises of God are based on His faithfulness. And this rainbow that was given was based on the faithfulness of God. And so that means there's mercy in this promise. There was mercy anytime you see a rainbow. And by the way, do you know how to see a rainbow? Wherever the sun is shining, you look directly opposite of the sun, and it's where you'll see the rainbow. As a matter of fact, the shadow that's cast by you, right through your eyes, wherever your shadow falls, will be the center of that rainbow. But that you can look at that promise and know there's a promise that God's put. And it looks like it hits both ends of the earth, doesn't it? It doesn't. A rainbow is actually a circle. But you see how it's over the earth. And there's a promise of life.
on the earth. There's a promise that this life will continue as long as God desires. It's based on God's faithfulness. There's life and there's mercy. Mercy under this rainbow. Because this bow was shown unto Noah and shown unto us that we might see that everything under this rainbow has this promise. Everything within this rainbow, if you will, has this promise. This promise of life, this promise of mercy. You know, if God didn't forgive, He couldn't have mercy. So there's a promise of forgiveness. If you will, if you look at this rainbow, there's a promise of Christ. For even though it's not stated, there's no way for God to have this mercy except that the sins of you and I and all the rest on this earth be dealt with somehow, be paid for somehow. In order for this to be possible, there has to be a sacrifice, and it has to be a sinless sacrifice. This rainbow is not possible if not for Christ. So even this rainbow that promises peace and promises life and promises forgiveness is based on Christ. So the rainbow itself is based on the promise of a Christ, the Messiah, who will come and who will pay for our sins that we might have life with Him. So it's a promising sign. It's the first thing we find out about a rainbow. Now that's not what it's held up for on this earth. It's held up usually to mean the diversity of people. I know that in today's world, it's usually held up by the gay and lesbian community. At one time in the 70s, there was a rainbow coalition one of the political groups had. It was supposed to mean all people coming from different areas. I think FDR might have had some rainbow coalition too. And it's been throughout time, different politicians have tried and political movements have tried to use this rainbow to mean things. And as I said, they're ignorant. They don't know what it means. The rainbow is a sign from God. It's a sign of a promise of life. It's a sign of a Christ who's going to pay for the sins that God might have mercy upon this earth. It's a promising sign. But I want to take you to the book of Revelation, and we're going to see something more. In the book of Revelation, I want to turn to the book of Revelation chapter 10. I'll give you just a moment to get there. In the book of Revelation chapter 10, John is the witness who wrote out this book. Excuse me. And here at this time, you see him in the first. I'm going to read the entire chapter. Chapter 10, it's only 11 verses. John here witnessing says, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And look at this, and a rainbow was upon his head." I'm going to come back to this, but it's important that you know about this angel that has the rainbow upon his head. It says, "And his face were as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roared. And when he had cried, seven thunders attended their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, and he hath which as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went to the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. That sounds like a lot of things that are not connected with the rainbow, but they all are. What you've got there is the angel, the messenger from God. And he has God's Word in his hand. That's what he's holding, is God's Word. And you see John take God's Word. And this whole chapter is about this messenger, this angel, because the word angel means messenger. This messenger scripture from God with God's word. And it said he had a rainbow on his head. I've told you a rainbow is a circle. A rainbow is a complete circle. From the earth you'll never be able to see the whole rainbow. You can only see part of it. If you're ever flying in the air, if you ever go on a trip and it's humid outside and you fly over clouds, it's possible to see a whole rainbow. I don't know if any of you have ever seen one. I've only seen it one time. The last flight I was coming back from, I believe, Alaska, I looked down upon the clouds and was able to see a circular rainbow. And I'll tell you more. Well, I'll tell you now. That's called, by the way, a glory. It's called a glory. When you see the whole glory, see the whole round rainbow. And your shadow will be right dead in the middle of it. But that rainbow is completely circular. It's a seal. Besides being a promising sign, this is a protective seal. God's rainbow is a seal. Just as He sealed the earth, He sealed the Word of God. And that's what you see with this angel with a rainbow upon his head. He has a protective seal upon him. This Word of God has a seal upon it. And it's God's seal. It's a seal which preserves the purity of this Word. It says in the book of Psalms, in Psalm chapter 12, it says, "The words of God are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." This is a preserved Bible. We don't have to guess at what the Bible says. There are people that go to college. There's a whole seminary full in Dallas Theological Seminary, which study and study to find out what the Bible originally said. I've got a Bible. I can tell you what originally it said. It said what it says now, because God's Word is preserved. And that's why you don't have to have a new Bible every 5 years as people find things out. You've got a Bible. And you've got a Bible, and it's the preserved Word of God, because God has promised to preserve His Word. It says, "Forever, O Lord, is Thy Word settled in heaven," in Psalms 119. And this is a preserved Word. And that's what you see with that rainbow on the head of that angel. You see a preserved Word. You see a perfect Word coming down from heaven to this earth, proclaiming what God has pronounced in His judgment. It is a preserved Word, perfectly preserved. There's no corners on a rainbow. It's preserved from every area the same amount. It's got the same amount of protection from one way as it does from another way. It doesn't need more from one and less from another, but it's a perfect protection, a perfect seal. It's a perfectly sealed Word of God. And what else is preserved besides the purity of that Word is the power of that Word. Because if man got his thoughts into the Word of God, it would weaken the power of God, because we wouldn't, in the Word of God, because we wouldn't know what it said. That's why it's so important to have a Bible that's rightly translated. It's why we use the one we've got. It's because it came from the right sources and it was done the right way. The power of God is preserved by God. That rainbow is a seal which is given, preserving the purity of the Word and the power of the Word. You can trust that Word of God. It's got the power to convict you of your sins. Have you ever read in the Bible or heard the Word of God preached and been convicted of something that you were doing and been pricked in the heart knowing that you were doing wrong? That's the power of the preached Word of God. And it's preserved by God. And that's what that rainbow is a picture of. The preservation of the purity and the power of the Word of God. Now, that's not what people mean when they wave that flag, is it? And I'll assure you, that's not what anybody meant when they painted a rainbow on the White House with the lights. But that's what the rainbow is. And it's God's rainbow. And He's the one who decides what it means, by the way. And it also protects the person of the messenger. It protects the purity of the Word and the power of the Word. But it protects the person of the messenger. That angel was protected for that rainbow. He had the seal of God around him. And can I tell you something? If you have the seal of the Spirit of God upon you, you have the protection of God upon you too. That's right. If you're a child of God, you have the protection of God. You have, as it were, a rainbow around you. You have the seal of God. Now, it'd be blasphemous to take something like that and use it to promote something that was against God, wouldn't it? Rainbow's a seal of God. And there's one last thing I'll cover with you concerning the rainbow. Because I also find it in Revelation chapter 4, shortly right before. You'll turn just a page back. I'm just going to read about the first three verses. This is when John first saw into heaven. It says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice, which I heard, was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, 'Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter.' And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." Let me ask you this, who sits on a throne in heaven? I'll promise you it ain't me, it ain't you, and it ain't our grandparents, and it ain't the 12 disciples. But there's only one who's going to sit on a throne in heaven, and that's God. And it says, "And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone." Now look, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. There's a rainbow round the throne of God. Did you know that? God said it was His rainbow. Where did He get this idea from? He's got one around His throne. He always has had one around His throne. Always will have one around His throne. God's got a rainbow. We see a natural likeness of it on the earth because we have natural eyes. So God gave us a natural likeness of it to see. But there's a rainbow around God's throne and God's a Spirit. See, that rainbow we see is a picture of the real rainbow. The real rainbow is around the throne of God. And you need to know what that rainbow is to understand what all the other rainbows are. I told you it was a sign from God. And it is a sign. God is perfectly holy. We serve a holy God. A holy God. Is He a great God? Yes, He is. He's a mighty God? Yes, He is. But He's a holy God. He's separate from sin. And He always will be. Throughout all of eternity, God will not have sin in His presence. That seal, that sign, is a separation. You see a rainbow, we see usually just the inner part of a rainbow. You'll remember, maybe some of you, a few months back, after church one night, we went down, I believe it was to McDonald's, it was. As we were looking at a rainbow, you could see the outside of the rainbow, the double rainbow, if you will. You know, all rainbows are actually double rainbows. There's an inner part and an outer part. We very seldom see the outer part. The outer part, the colors, you remember, are backwards from the colors of the inner part. See, there's a rainbow that looks in, and there's a rainbow that looks out. Do you follow me? And there's a rainbow that looks inside. And inside is this promise of God. And this rainbow, which looks in, I said a whole round rainbow is a glory. And God's inside His glory. And His rainbow looks in. But there's a rainbow that looks out. You see, a rainbow is also a line of judgment. And there's an inside the rainbow, and there's an outside the rainbow. Inside the rainbow is the promise. When God set that rainbow in the clouds, we look at the rainbow, and even with your natural eyes, it looks brighter inside the rainbow. It's just the way the light looks. The promise is inside the rainbow. Outside the rainbow, there is no promise. This same rainbow is seen in the book of Ezekiel. At the end of chapter 1, where Ezekiel is seeing that throne, and the cherubim and the seraphim. And he said in verse 26, I'll read those three verses. "And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was a likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it." And he just saw the likeness of the throne. He said, "And I saw as the color of amber and the appearance of fire round about within it. And the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had a brightness round about. And the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about." He said there was a rainbow about the throne. God's rainbow about the throne. You see, this one is a line of separation. Inside that bow is light. That means that outside that bow is death. Inside that bow is heaven, if you will, and outside is hell. It speaks of those being thrust out, being cast out into outer darkness. How is it outer darkness? It's outside the rainbow. that rainbow is a line of judgment. What was it that was flashed in light upon the White House? Judgment. What are people waving when they're waving their flags? The judgment of God. I told you they were ignorant of what it meant. Now you know what it means. They are ignorantly flying flags of their own judgment. The White House ignorantly displayed judgment upon its own self that day. That rainbow is a promise of God. There's life inside it and death outside it. It's a line of judgment. For us, it's given. We're granted through the mercies of God that we might believe in Him and might be taken inside the rainbow, as it were. Might be given eternal life. Oh, that's an important thing for us. That rainbow is a beautiful thing to a Christian. No matter how this world misuses it. No matter how they pronounce their own judgment upon themselves. That rainbow is meant as a sign, not to the lost world, but to the children of God. When you see a rainbow, you might see one today. It's been kind of hazy and rainy. When you see one, remember that promise of God. But that promise is to those inside the rainbow. I'm glad to be inside the rainbow today. Inside it, not outside it. I'm glad that even though it's a line of judgment, that we're given this space of time that those outside the rainbow might still yet find their way inside it. Because I was outside the rainbow, as were you. We were all born lost and aliens from the kingdom of God. None of us were born saved. Every single one of us was born with a nature that was full of sin, full of hate, full of discontent. But yet, God in His mercy, sending that perfect sacrifice, His Son who died for us, made the way that we might be moved from outside that line of judgment to inside that glory of God with Him inside the rainbow. I'm thankful for that this day. I'm thankful for it. No matter how I see people misuse the things of God and the signs and the symbols that He gave us, I still am glad to know what they really mean. And to know that that's a promise from my God. That as long as I'm in there, I have life. I have life from Him, and no man can take that life from me. They might be able to take this body and destroy this body, but they can't destroy the life that's within this body that was given to me by my Savior, because I've got God's seal on me. I've got God's sign in the skies and His seal around me, and He's separated me from the evil of this world. Although I might fall, though I might falter, I still belong to Him, and I'm sealed by His promise and by His Spirit. And I know, looking at that rainbow in the clouds, that that sign is true, and that I've been separated unto Him, even unto that day. I would that you would give Him the praise for it. Every time we sing, remember that you're singing to a God that saves you. Remember that promise that He's given you, that seal that He's put upon you. And when we sing and when we pray, pray to that mighty, that almighty God who has set you aside and separated you and sealed you by His promise. Brother Craig, if you have a song, sir, I would close it out here. I hope you'll enjoy this day. I hope you see a rainbow. And when you do, remember that mighty promise that God's given you. Brother Craig.